Once again, welcome. As always, I am honored to stand before you and present another portion of the Word of God. This morning, we are continuing our study of what we are dealing with throughout this year, which is the importance of being a proper example and noticing numerous things associated with that. In this first portion of our study, the first portion of three sections, we are dealing with what it means to be an example, and what we're doing is we're looking at various aspects associated with what an example actually is. We've spent the last three lessons giving some descriptions of examples as found in Scripture. We've talked about salt and we've talked about light the last couple of weeks, and actually it's four lessons. We've also talked about the idea of being an epistle, the idea of being leaven, the idea of various other descriptions that we find, a pattern where God's Word is concerned that we are striving to be. Well, today we're going to take this in a different direction, even though we're continuing to look at what it means to be an example. And the direction that we're going to take over the course of the next few lessons, just a handful of lessons, is we're going to talk about examples of being examples. Today, we're going to talk about the ultimate example. We're going to talk about the example of Jesus, and the songs that we've just sung, they deal with how we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. We're following after His example. And of course, we ought to strive to be more like the Master in everything that we do. So that's what we're going to examine this evening, this morning. You might call it the ultimate example. Then next week, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at some examples in Scriptures of individuals who influenced others by the way that they were living their lives. And we're going to go on from that particular point and deal with some examples that we should not follow. And also examples of being different. Those are some of the things that we're going to be dealing with over the course of the next few weeks. But today we want to start by dealing with the idea of Jesus as our ultimate example. And I know I've mentioned this as an illustration before, but many of us remember a number of years ago, about 15 years or so ago, that there was this expression in the religious world amongst those who profess to follow Christ. What would Jesus do? And it was associated with just the acronym or WWJD, and you'd see it on bumper stickers, and you'd see it on T-shirts, and you'd see it all over the place. And while that is certainly something that you may not understand this, but or you may, it could lend to abuse. And the way that it could be abused is when somebody basically says, well, Jesus would do what I want to do. And you know, that's what you find in so many different instances where people will say, well, you know, even though this isn't what the Bible teaches, I believe Jesus would do this way. And that's wrong. That's a dangerous path to go down. But at the same time, in our lives, we need to ask the question when we're dealing with our attitude and when we're dealing with the way that we deal with others and the example that we set, what would Jesus do? It's very much a good passage or an idea that is taught in Scripture. And what we're going to do this morning is, first of all, we're going to look at a few verses that basically tell us to follow the example of Jesus. And then secondly, we're going to look at some areas in our lives where Jesus was an example. And so make application as to how Jesus can be an example. And of course, we don't have examples in every area of our life directly associated with Jesus, but we can learn from what we see about Jesus how to apply that in every aspect of our lives. So let's go ahead and get started with that. And what we want to begin with by noting how we are called upon to imitate Christ. And I actually want to begin with Jesus Christ Himself while He was walking upon this earth. You might notice that there were several occasions, especially associated with His disciples, where He would challenge them to follow Him. Over in Matthew chapter 4, and beginning in about verse number 18, we read there that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus challenges them to follow after him. Follow me, and I'm going to show you the way to live your life. And that was really the point that Jesus was indicating as he made that statement. Over in Matthew chapter 10, and in verse number 38, we find another occasion where Jesus makes a similar statement. In Matthew 10 and in verse number 38, we find here where Jesus is making this observation as he's calling us to follow him. He makes the point here, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We've got to be willing to follow him in our lives if we are to be pleasing to him. Over in Luke chapter 14 and in verse number 26, we have just one more example of this. In verse 26 here we read, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, brother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now there's a whole lot in that text about the idea of he must be our priority, which is the point. But he's making here, we have to come, Jesus says, whoever does not come after me cannot be my disciple. In that he's saying, I'm setting an example. I'm setting an example that you need to follow. Over in Matthew chapter 11, and in this text that we sometimes describe as the great invitation of Jesus, where he challenges all, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We find following that in verse number 29 that he says to them, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He makes the point, I want you to take my yoke, and I want you to learn from me. He's challenging us there to follow after his example. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse number 1, as Paul is challenging the brethren of Corinth, he makes a simple statement where he says, imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. And of course, in the example of Paul, we definitely learn that Paul isn't seeking self-glorification, but rather it's about following the example of Christ. Then over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in verse number 6, here we find a congregation. And he says, you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. And you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia. And the point that Paul makes here, he's commending them, is you became followers of us and of the Lord. You are following the pattern that the Lord has set for us, which is the pattern that we follow after. And then you have in 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse number 21, a more direct statement where Peter says this. In verse 21, he says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. And we'll talk more about that verse a little more as we go through this particular lesson here. But the point is he leaves us an example, and we need to follow in the steps or the footprints of Jesus. Even over in Hebrews chapter 12, and in this particular text here, you have the Hebrew writer having given all these examples in Hebrews chapter 11, great examples of endurance and examples of faith, where we can learn to endure and to be faithful to God. He says there in verse 1, therefore we also, Hebrews 12, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So he makes the point in this book that as we are running this race of life and as we're heading toward the finish line, we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the idea is Jesus has run the race. He's completed the race. He's at the finish line, and we're looking toward Him because we want to reach that finish line. One other passage, or a couple of other passages, over in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse number 6. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse number 6. John there says, "He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Again, you've got a straightforward statement there. If you profess to abide in Christ, if you're seeking to follow Christ, you need to walk the way that He walked. So you have a passage that emphasizes example. And finally, in Romans chapter 8, and in verse number 29, and this is using different terminology, but look at what it says here. In Romans chapter 8, and in verse number 29, we read there, "For whom He foreknew," talking about the Father and Jesus, "for whom He foreknew," or us, "for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." To be conformed to the image of His Son. The idea of conforming to something is you make yourself like that. That's the idea of you have an example to follow after. Now, I know there's a lot of depth in that verse and so on, but it points to the fact that Jesus is something for us to follow. So He's one whom we are to conform after, not only in this life, but when this life is over, we will conform to Him. Matter of fact, in the next life, we'll conform to Him if we conform to Him in this life. So here you have several passages in the New Testament that are just straightforward in telling us to imitate Christ, to follow after His example. But now, what exactly does that mean? What do we mean when we talk about Jesus being our example? And for the remainder of our time, we want to look at some ways that we follow after the example of Jesus. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's kind of obvious that there are many ways where we're not specifically told to follow me as an example. But it's interesting the number of locations where we are told to follow the example of Jesus, and we're told what that involves. And my lesson this morning is going to be narrowed down to some of those things, just because they're straightforward in showing how Jesus is the ultimate example that we need to be following. We need to ask the question, when it comes to my attitude, what would Jesus do? What would His attitude be? Or when it comes to my action, what would Jesus do? And so on and so forth. So let's go ahead and look at some examples of this. And we want to begin with the attitude of humility. Humility is an attitude that is very fundamental to our lives as Christians. It's one of those what I describe as the foundational attitudes. The Bible talks a whole lot about attitudes that we need to have. And there's some attitudes that are at the very ground of everything that we do and the way that we think and who we are. And among those attitudes is this attitude of humility. We need to have that. And there's no greater example of that than Jesus. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, where in verse number 5, and incidentally, this is in a text where Paul has just finished talking about, don't just look out for your own interests, but think about others. And don't think too highly of yourself, which is the idea of humility. But then he says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying, Jesus gives an example of the type of mind that we need to have. He goes on, "Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And then Paul proceeds to describe how because of that God exalted him and gave him a name that everyone will confess and we will bow before him and so on. But he makes the point. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. You want to understand what it means to be humble? Look at what Jesus did. And in particular, look at the events that are referenced by Paul. You know, when I taught on this particular passage, actually it was several months ago, but it was impressed upon me the significance of the humility of Jesus. When you think about the fact that He was in heaven, He did not consider it robbery, or I think the New American Standard says consider it a seizure, to be equal with God. And the idea of that is seizing equality with God. He did not consider it wrong to be called God. Why? He is God. He left heaven where He didn't have to deal with man physically, where He didn't have to deal with the abuses that He faced. He left heaven and came to this earth. He humbled himself. He put on flesh. And he didn't put on the flesh of a king. He didn't put on the flesh of royalty or fame or wealth, prosperity. He came as a lowly servant. And he was raised in the home of a common, ordinary carpenter. That's humility. What he gave up. And then he humbled himself, even though he knew who he was, to the point that he was willing to die on a cross. To be tortured, to be abused, to be blasphemed, and ultimately put to death in one of the most horrific ways at the time. And he did it because we need it. For us. That's humility. So, when we go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and verses 5 and 6, and we find that Peter tells us to be humble, he says there, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You humble yourself and let God exalt you. And where do we learn what it means to be humble? By following the footprints or the example of Jesus. Well, another way that we find the humility of Jesus is in the area of long-suffering. And I ask you to turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse number 15 and 16... In this particular text, Paul is speaking to young Timothy, dealing with his past and so on. And he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. That's kind of interesting in that verse here. You know, Paul acknowledges, my former life was very much a sinner. I blasphemed God. I persecuted Christians to the death. And yet Jesus was willing to accept me. Jesus was willing to forgive me. I spoke against Christ. And to show His long-suffering to me, Paul, but also to me, Tom, and to every one of you, He forgave Paul. And He chose Paul. And Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles, given a special mission to help complete a part of God's work that that needed to be done for the completion of His plan. Salvation being made available to everyone. So you think about that. And you see in that an ultimate example of what is involved in long-suffering. You want to learn what it means to be long-suffering? You know, that word, it's associated with patience. And we sometimes talk about patience. And yes, long-suffering is patience. But let me just say it this way. All long-suffering involves patience, but not all patience involves long-suffering. So, you know, long-suffering means suffering long or suffering patiently, usually because you're being mistreated. Or something's not going away immediately. You're dealing with difficulties. The Lord put up with Paul. And He puts up with us. But as a result of that, Paul tells the brethren over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all long-suffering and gentleness, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And he goes on, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, and so on and so forth. But he's making the point there that we are to walk worthy of what? Following after the Lord. And that involves that we are long-suffering toward one another, bearing with one another, the way that our Lord is long-suffering toward us and bears with us in spite of our weaknesses and our imperfections and our failures from time to time. What a blessing that is. So we see an example of what long-suffering involves by living or looking at the life of Jesus. Another example of long-suffering, of the example of Jesus, would be that of walking in love. Stay in the book of Ephesians and go to Ephesians chapter 5. And in verses 1 and 2, and here Paul continues to give this practical application to these brethren, where he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Okay, so again in this text, we find how Jesus is the example of love. He's an example to us of what is involved in love. And you might say love in its purest form. Love to its greatest degree. How did Jesus demonstrate His love? This text tells us He did it by offering Himself. You may remember Jesus as He was speaking to His disciples over in John chapter 15. And in verse number 13, Jesus said to them, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus was saying, I'm willing to die for you. That's how much I love you. Over in John 13, verses 34 and 35, and this is a passage that we've talked about on numerous occasions where Jesus reminds us, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. To what degree? To what degree are we to love one another? Jesus says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And I cannot help but be reminded in that text, Jesus not only says for us to love one another the way that He loves us, but He says the world sees that. And that's kind of the point. This is how the world's going to know that we are His disciples. If we are imitating Jesus in the way that we love one another. So we see that example in Him. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse number 16, where John there says, by this we know love. By this we know love, he says, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How close are we to be to one another? How are we, to what degree are we to care for one another as brethren? In the very text that he says, the way that he loved us, and he was willing to lay down his life for us. Are we that close to each other? And of course, the qualities of love in 1 Corinthians 13, read about the first 8 verses of that chapter. You see the importance of love, and you also see what this love looks like. It's long-suffering, the very first thing that is said, and it is kind, and it bears with each other. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It thinks no evil, and it never fails. That's the love that we need in our lives. And we find the example of Jesus in how we are to love. If you want to learn what it means to love in a way that God wants us to love, look at Jesus as an example of that. Well, another area where we can learn from the example of Jesus is when it comes to the area of serving. Over in John chapter 13, we find that Jesus is engaged in a very humbling act of service. This is where we read about Jesus washing the feet of His disciples. And of course, if you put that in context with some of the other Gospels, this is on the night that He would be betrayed. And just prior to this, it's very likely that what is happening is that disciples are still arguing among themselves about who's the greatest. You know, we read about that over and over in the disciples. They were arguing. You know, James and John, their mother comes to Jesus and says, do me a favor, let them be right on your right and your left side, and then the others spread out from that. You know, who's going to be the greatest? And they're arguing about it. And I can just picture Jesus hearing them and just taking a bowl of water and a towel. And He just begins one by one to wash their feet. And you get to Peter, and Peter says, why are you washing my feet? You are beneath this. And Jesus says, you either let me do it, or I'll have no part with you. And of course, there was so much more said. But I want you to notice verse 15. The last part of verse 12, Jesus says, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And there are many today that have taken this as foot washing is an act of worship. And that's not the point that Jesus is making. The point that He's making is we need to serve. We need to be willing to serve each other. We need to humble ourselves and be willing to do the lowliest of tasks for one another. That's the point that Jesus is making there. Consider another passage in the life of Jesus over in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and this is another one of these occasions where they're sitting there and arguing with each other. And you find here, beginning in about verse number 25, it says, Jesus called them to Himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Now listen to this next verse. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. You want to learn about what it means to serve? Look to the example of Jesus. He's the ultimate example of what it means to serve. And we've just given one example of that in the life of Jesus. You know, I want you to understand, if we want to let our light shine around us, if we want to be the salt of the earth, one of the best ways you can do that is by serving others. Serving them unconditionally. Showing that that's what your life is about. That will give you opportunities to teach others. That will open doors for you. Not every door. You know, there's going to still be those who are going to take advantage of you regardless, and you're never going to get anywhere with them. But that's the first step, when they see the way you live in your life. That's the first step to reaching others. Jesus served. And we need to follow the example and imitate Jesus in that. Well, another way that we need to imitate our Lord is in obeying the Father. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, in verses 1 and 2, and this comes on the heel of Paul dealing with the way we treat each other as brethren in matters of liberty. In chapter 15 and in verse 1, you read there that we are strong, need to bear with the weaknesses or the scruples of the weak. And then in verse 2, he says, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." It says in this passage here that even Jesus did not please himself. You know what that means? That means that Jesus didn't just do what he wanted to do. He did what the Father needed to have done. He did what his Father told him to do. And there are several instances of that in Scripture. In Matthew 26, in verse 39, you find Jesus in the garden. And when he prays to the Father, what does he pray? "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me." But then he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." It's about submitting to the will of the Father. And I'm going to tell you right now, an interesting study is to notice how Jesus talks about obeying the Father in the Gospel of John. And there's actually a handful of passages that deal very specifically with that. One such passage in verse 38 of John chapter 6, Jesus there says, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Here is Jesus, the Son of God. He comes to this earth, and as He does, He submits to the Father while on this earth. And I've come to obey the Father. We learn what obedience is by following His obedience as recorded in Hebrews. And is it no wonder that Jesus in Matthew 7 and in verse 21 says to His disciples as He begins to conclude the Sermon on the Mount, as Matthew records it, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He goes on, it's not enough to say, "Lord, Lord." You know, many will say to me in that day, "We did all kinds of works." But he will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." We have to obey the Father. It can't be superficial. We learn from Jesus Himself what obeying God the Father is. We learn the ultimate example of obedience. Well, another example that we learn from our Lord is that of suffering. We read a few moments ago from 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. And let's go ahead and look at the context. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. And incidentally, in this entire letter, Peter is telling brethren that you're going to face difficulties. You've got to submit and you've got to be willing to suffer. And he says, "For to this you were called," verse 21, 1 Peter 2. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously." Notice how Jesus acted as He was suffering. He committed Himself to the Father, and He endured it. He endured those sufferings because it's what we needed. He was willing to suffer for us. He was willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. Now let's turn back over to Hebrews chapter 12. We read verses 1 and 2 where we talked about we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I want you to notice in verse 3, it says, "For consider Him who endured such hostilities from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." Jesus said, consider Him. You know what that means? Look to Him as an example of enduring hostilities. Look to Him as an example of what it means to suffer. Jesus in Matthew 10 told His own disciples over there in verses 24 and 25 that if they called me Beelzebub, they're going to call you things too. You know, look, if they've mistreated me, if you're following me, they're going to mistreat you. Just know it ahead of time. And Peter will deal exclusively or extensively with that over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in 1 Peter chapter 4, where he talks about suffering as a Christian and what's involved in that. Well, another way that we can follow the example of Jesus is in the area of faithfulness. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, and beginning in verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer tells us, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Okay, I want you to consider Jesus. That's what they're saying. Look to His example. His example of what? "Who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses also was faithful in all His house." Jesus, as an example of obedience, is also an example of faithfulness. And you know, typically when you think of the idea of faithfulness, words that come to mind are dependability, trustworthiness. And that's something that you can't just say is true. You have to show it. You demonstrate it by the way you live your life. Jesus demonstrated His trustworthiness. Jesus demonstrated His dependability. Jesus demonstrated His faithfulness. And what it means to be faithful by the way that He completed the work that His Father gave Him to do. And that's why in John 17, as He begins that prayer, the very first thing He says is, "I have finished the work that You have given Me to do." Well, you know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12, and I know Paul's speaking specifically about himself, but I think it applies to all of us. It talks about how it is required of a steward that one be found faithful. And we know that we're all servants of the Lord. And one day we're going to stand in judgment before God, and we're going to give an accounting for our stewardship. And over in Matthew 25, you read, and beginning at about verse 14 through about 30, you read about the parable of the talents, and we're not going to read the whole thing. And if you need the account, ask me and I'll tell you later. But let's just talk about the 2-talent and the 5-talent servant when they return double to their master. Their master says to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." They were commended. But then he goes on and says, "You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many." And then I want you to notice the last part that he says in those verses. He says, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." How many of us want to hear that when we stand before God in judgment? Well, it's going to depend on whether or not we were faithful. And where do we best learn how to be faithful? We look to the example of our Lord. And that brings me to the final example that we want to consider, and that is faithfulness or forgiveness. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. And we read in this particular text here where Paul is beginning to wrap things up and make practical application to these brethren, and he describes all kind of qualities that we are to have, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, and so on. Verse 13, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." How are we to forgive? Learn by our Lord Jesus Christ Himself how to forgive. And you know what just always comes to my mind when I think about that is Luke chapter 23, where Jesus, as He is being nailed to the cross, He has been falsely accused. He's just been through a trial that was nothing but illegal, and it was an absolute joke. And it was nothing but an act of blasphemy against God and hatred against Him. Abused and maligned. And now Nails are being driven into his hand, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, let me ask you, is that an example of forgiveness? An attitude that we need to have toward others? That was the attitude of our Lord. He's sitting there hanging on a cross, and he's willing to forgive a thief who asks him to be merciful. And I know there's a whole lot to be said about that thief. I know he's misunderstood. But the point is you see the example of Jesus in that. In Matthew 6, when he teaches us how to pray, he teaches us to say, "Forgive us our trespasses," or "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." And he elaborates on it. That's the only thing in that entire prayer that Jesus expounds upon. The way you forgive is the way you're going to be forgiven, is what he says. And Jesus isn't blindly telling us this. He has given us an example of what forgiveness means. So how many of us are willing to forgive one another the way that our Lord has forgiven us? How many of us are willing to forgive those of the world the way that our Lord has forgiven us? We learn from His example how to be a proper example. Now, we could add many more things to this list. But in this list, we can see how Jesus is the ultimate example for us to follow. And certainly, if we want to know what it means to be an example, we need to ask the question, what would Jesus do? And when we learn from His Word, we need to follow that. May we, as we live our lives, strive to follow the example of Jesus as we let our lights shine. Best and yours. Open your songbook now to number 167. We're going to sing about Jesus here in a moment. We're going to sing about Jesus, the loving shepherd. He gave His life for us. He gave His life for every one of us. Maybe there's somebody here who has not yet submitted to His will and needs to do so. We want to give you that opportunity. If you believe in Him, will you repent of your sins, confess Him, and be immersed? Or maybe you are a child of God and you've wandered away from Him and you need to come back. Do so. He wants you back. And He's shown that in many of the things that we've talked about in this lesson this morning. So maybe there's someone here who needs something in some way that we can help you with. If so, why not come forward as we stand?